I think to start a sermon on Christmas, the best place is with the Christmas story. And I'll be reading from Luke 2, 1 through 20, the beautiful words we're all familiar with. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. I'm one of those people who get a little goofy about the Christmas season. I don't love everything by any means, but family traditions. My Christmas tree with Steve's homemade ornaments. Buying presents for people I love. New fallen snow. Getting Christmas cards. Christmas music. All of this turns me into silly putty. I'm sure I lost Kevin with Christmas music. And I admit that I certainly don't like all of it. Jingle Bell Rock, for instance, is nothing but annoying. I'm reminded of a Garrison Keillor monologue where he confessed his intense dislike for the little drummer boy. He said that his visceral reaction was so strong that if he was in a store when the little drummer boy started playing, he put down any merchandise in his hands and immediately left the store. I don't feel that way about the little drummer boy, but I do have my own short list that certainly makes me yearn for earplugs, if not full retreat. We all know the real reason we have a Christmas season. It's our opportunity to celebrate the birth of Jesus, God's Son, our Lord and Savior. This is a lovely, lovely thing, almost too grand and glorious for us to comprehend. It's definitely an occasion for celebrating. So why do so many of us become dispirited, stressed, crabby, or depressed? We should be shouting our joy from the rooftops, and we know that. But to be reminded of it when we aren't feeling it just makes us add guilt to all the other bad feelings we're experiencing. The solution is not to campaign for our culture to put Christ back into Christmas, but to campaign to put Christmas back into ourselves. It's a common thing in our Christian society to hear people lamenting that the Christmas season is too commercialized. The pace is too frantic. Expectations are too high. The usual refrain is, we need to slow down and put Christ back into Christmas. I'd agree that we probably do need to slow down, since that's usually true any time. But as to putting Christ back into Christmas, we don't need to worry. He's still there. We couldn't take him out of it if we tried. No amount of Santa Clauses or Zales Diamond ads or Black Friday specials can do it. Nor will Kwanzaa celebrations or cards that read Happy Holidays or Hanukkah menorah displays. Not even an atomic missile direct hit would have the slightest effect. No one or thing can take Christ out of Christmas, because Christ is Christmas, the Word made flesh. He is God, and He is love, and He is here to stay. So, what to do about all the hullabaloo that surrounds our Christmas season? My suggestion is, let's baptize it, immerse it in Christ. What if everything we did and said was Christ-oriented, God-centered? God himself used pagan festivals already in the culture by turning them into occasions to worship him. Passover occurred at the time of the culture's long-standing festival for spring planting. The Feast of Tabernacles was when the culture's autumn harvest celebration was underway. From time immemorial, all cultures celebrated those momentous events, planting and harvesting. God took what was already a part of people's lives and turned it from the worldly, earthly focus to a godly focus. It was a perfect time to emphasize that rather than many gods, there is only one true God, and He is Jehovah. It was through Him that all good things happened, and to Him that all thanks belonged. We should be doing the same thing with Christmas. We've had a good start, thanks to the early Christians. They chose the occasion of the Roman Saturnalia as the time of year to celebrate Christ's birth. All over the Roman world, people were already accustomed to having a party at the time of the winter solstice. Why not use the occasion, but change the focus to celebrate Jesus' birth? As you probably know, so many of the accoutrements that we think of as being an innocent part of our Christmas festivities were imported from pagan winter festivals or fertility ceremonies. Christmas trees, Yule logs, holly and ivy, mistletoe. We hardly think of them as fertility symbols anymore, because they have been immersed into our own culture. Let's go one step further and immerse them into Christ. All good things are from Him. Snowmen and wreaths and hot cocoa with marshmallows and fresh evergreen and sleigh bells jingling are all good things. So are families enjoying each other's company and happy children and quiet moments by the fireplace. We can claim them all for Christ, because rightfully, they are His. I would even venture to include Santa Claus in this list of good things. I know that many Christians get pretty exercised over the notion of Santa Claus, refusing to decorate with Santas or play Santa songs or read Santa stories, and with some cause. Santa is often a symbol for the greed and worldliness that too often infuses our Christmas season. He has become the patron saint of gimme, gimme. But the real Saint Nicholas was a good man, a wealthy bishop who lived in the 4th century in Asia Minor. He was a kind man who liked to help people, often with secret gifts. One legend told about him is that a poor man had 3 daughters for whom he had no money to pay dowries for them to marry. One night, Bishop Nicholas dropped a small bag of gold coins down the chimney, and it lodged in a stocking that was hanging on the mantel to dry. One daughter could marry. Then it happened a second time, so the second daughter could marry. The father of the girls then started waiting up at night to catch the person responsible if it should happen again. It did, and he caught Bishop Nicholas in the act. Nicholas begged the man not to tell, but word got out. Christmas stockings, presents coming down the chimney, even red coats, since bishops wore red robes. Several of our Christmas customs rolled up in one story. Sadly, Bishop Nicholas was persecuted by the Roman Emperor Diocletian and died in exile. When we think of the original Saint Nicholas, a kind, good man who wanted to help people, it doesn't seem a stretch to see him as part of our Christmas. Steve and I believed in Santa with his flying reindeer, delivering toys all around the world on Christmas Eve in our early years. So we continued the story with our first two children, until our oldest, Pete, brought that to an abrupt halt. He was in kindergarten when the boy next door clued him in as to who was the real Santa Claus. Pete broke speed records, flying home to find his younger sister, Sarah, so that she wouldn't have to slumber in ignorance a moment longer than she needed to. Pete, however, was always thinking. So it wasn't long before he was finding one of us to question about the Easter rabbit. So, there's no Easter bunny either? Well, no, there isn't. And no tooth fairy? That's right. And Jesus isn't real either, right? Wait a minute. Yes, Jesus is real. But Pete wouldn't be convinced. He couldn't see any difference in what we were saying about a God you couldn't see and a fairy who brought presents on Christmas Eve. He'd been fooled once, and he wasn't going to be fooled again. It took several years before we could steer him back to the truth. We then went on to have a couple more children. We decided after that rather traumatic experience with Pete that we wouldn't encourage these two to believe in Santa Claus. But Santa is fun for children. We hated to deprive them of that. So what we did was to treat Santa the same way we did talking dressed animals and magic carpets and Never Never Land. It was all great fun, but it wasn't real. It was for play-like. All the presents under the tree were from people they knew and loved. Of course, Joel and Nathan never experienced the awe of thinking Santa and his sleigh were going to descend on his roof and bring presents down the chimney. But they also never had the letdown of discovering he wasn't real. And we never again had to figure out how to persuade a child that Jesus wasn't like Santa Claus. What we tried to do with the Santa phenomenon is what I suggest we do with all the good things of the Christmas experience. Remove the taint of the world and dedicate them to Christ. We need to put Christmas in us and share it with our families and friends and everyone we meet. After all, Christ is Christmas. We should always have Christ deep inside us, but certainly not less at Christmas. The tug of the world is strong, so we have our work cut out for us. But let's be realistic here. We also have opportunities at Christmas that we probably don't have any other time. A large portion of the world has a glimpse of that manger in Bethlehem, if only for a minute, and unwillingly. It is still common knowledge why we have a Christmas season, although just barely, in many circumstances. We Christians can't let this opportunity slip through our fingers because we're standing around in a corner complaining about how our holiday got taken over by commercialism and greed. This is hardly an unusual phenomenon. Our whole world has been taken over by commercialism and greed 24/7. We need to be showing the world who we are and why we are. We need to be angling our foot in the door while it's open a crack. How do we do that? How do we put Christmas back into us and show the world our Lord? Probably the best place to start is with some quiet reflection and prayer. We need to sort out what's important to us and our families. We need to weed the chaff from the wheat and then make some excellent bread from that wheat. We can't lose our focus. Remember, all good things are from Him, yet we know from observation and our own experience that good things can go badly wrong when we become distracted and weaken our resolve. Take present exchanging, for example. We know that gift-giving and receiving can be a delightful thing. Giving someone something they truly want produces a warm glow in us. We like to make people we love happy. We like to be happy, too, when we receive something we truly want. Yet how easily greed can glide into gift-giving process, or covetousness, or envy, or jealousy. How subtly and eagerly entered into occasion can change into a grudging and resentful have-to occasion. We perhaps find ourselves thinking that we don't much like Christmas. This is a good time to stop and take stock, because bitterness and resentfulness have no place in lives full of Christ. We need to think how to immerse our gift-giving in Christ. We've acknowledged that giving and receiving presents is a good thing, so when it isn't, something is wrong. How to right it isn't always easy. We'll have to be honest with ourselves about why we're upset or frustrated. Are we spending more money than we can afford? Are we giving presents out of a sense of obligation and not out of a genuine desire to make the recipient happy? Perhaps we feel guilty because someone is spending too much money on presents for us or giving us a present when we didn't give them one. The list of reasons to be uneasy or worse with the gift-giving process is pretty long and with no quick fix obvious. However, if we remember that we're immersing everything we do in Christ, then we have some guidelines to follow. We start by getting our priorities as straight as we can, and then asking, what would Jesus do? Jesus didn't spend his 30-some years on earth in the 21st century, so we have no exact guide for Christmas present giving, but we do know he wasn't much of one for indulgence and frivolity. He was practical, didn't try to hurt feelings, yet when it was necessary, he did. But mainly, when we think about Jesus in the context of giving, the lesson we learn is to give in love. He commands us to. He wants us to help the poor, to share his love with those in need, to open our hearts to the sick and lonely. The more we baptize our giving and receiving with his love, the easier it will become to make the hard decisions. Love is a gift that truly one size fits all. We need to keep it foremost in our minds at all times. When we think about it, the present giving and getting time is a golden teaching opportunity, especially for children, but is so often the case really for all of us. Even small children can be encouraged to make cards or color pictures to give to people they love. Maybe you know a shut-in who'd appreciate a plate of cookies and a visit from you and your child. Kids can help gather canned goods to take to the community assistance center or pick out a toy to give to Toys for Tots. I suspect all the children who helped Miss Carolyn fill red and green boxes for Operation Christmas Child were moved to think about the joy that they were bringing to children who wouldn't get anything for Christmas if they didn't receive that box. Another good teaching lesson is to consider your present opening time. Is it one big whir of squeals and flying paper? Perhaps slow things down a bit so that people can watch others opening presents, especially the ones they gave them. It's a good way to learn to think about other people besides oneself and to be happy for them, to not be so self-absorbed and impatient. Two problems not just limited to children. Find a good time to read the Christmas story together and pray together, and make it a tradition. Some people do this on Christmas Eve, others on Christmas morning, or before they open presents. Be on the lookout for ways to incorporate Christ in everything that you do. Music, natural beauty, family, friendship. The more your life is infused with Christ, the more you will feel the joy that is Christmas. We all know the other pitfalls that threaten us at Christmas. Taking on too many responsibilities, family feuds and hard feelings, eating and drinking too much, having too high expectations. Isn't it ironic that something so perfect as celebrating the birth of our Lord can bring out our worst behavior? That's why we have to be vigilant not to let these things happen. Think of ways to baptize everything we do with Christ and His love. Remember that everything that is good is from Him, so strive for the good. Families enjoying each other, happy children, the smell of fresh evergreen, gingerbread, Billy's sparkling lights and glitter, all good. We can keep it that way by immersing it all in Christ. It takes perseverance, but it's what we as Christians are all about. We owe it to Him to do our best. I'm reminded of an old joke about the little boy who was digging through a huge pile of manure. When questioned what on earth he was doing, he replied, "When I saw this pile of manure, I knew a pony had to be in there somewhere, and I mean to find it." Well, I believe that somewhere under that tangle of Christmas lights, the long lines at the checkout, the unwritten Christmas cards, the unbaked cookies, the gaudy lawn displays, that unassembled toy with the instructions written in Japanese, there's a baby. And as wonderful as all babies are, this one is no ordinary baby. He's truly a miracle, the Son of God. As if that's not enough, there's more. This baby came to show us how to live perfect lives, to teach us how to worship God. And that's still not all. He died for our sins, so that we can live forever with Him and our Heavenly Father. If we accept Him and keep His commandments, we are His eternally. We need to put Him inside us and let the true light of Christmas shine through to light a needy world. We can't take a pass on Christmas. He is our gift to give.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.